Welcome to Two Titans and a Hunter, a Destiny 2 podcast, a show where we discuss tips, tricks, and tools to help all our Guardians succeed and enjoy playing more. What makes us different? Well, we're not streamers, we're not YouTubers. We just have a passion for Destiny, and we're dedicated to keeping our Guardians informed and up to date with all the latest Destiny 2 information, news, and opinions. We encourage your questions and feedback. You can contact us by either email at twotitansandahunter@hotmail.com or on Twitter at twotitan_hunter. And now, on with the show.
So this week, I am joined by a Titan who has the worst RNG I have ever seen. And, you know, this may be the worst in the world. Well, the Destiny world anyway. The one, the only, Parody. And this week, we are joined by a Hunter who is filling in for the self-professed star of the show, Respawn. So, let's face it, not very big shoes to fill, but is he up to the task? Well, we'll see. Welcome, Seventh Scar. How are you doing?
What's up?
So, do you want to tell the nice audience about yourself as a Hunter in Destiny?
What, me?
No, the other person that's just joined.
Hello, internet people. My name's Seventh Scar UK. Or seventh to friends, so one person, which is Night Demon. I don't have any other friends. Okay, and I generally am a Hunter main.
So good, I'm glad we have a Hunter that can talk about all these sweet Hunter perks, because I'm sitting looking at this list of like notes, like, we made the Warlocks better in this way, we made the Hunters better in this way. I'm like, is that a change? Is that good? Is that bad? I honestly don't know.
I'm pretty sure the Hunter's actually got nothing. I'm just reading through it, and from what I remember from what I watched, I think it was like Houndish or saying, and I was just like, okay, yeah, Titans are good, yeah, Warlocks, like, yeah, Hunters. No, we might have a grenade that everyone else has, and I think that's it.
I tell you what, you guys are going to be so surprised when we get later on in the show, because I've got some really cool builds that I've been researching, and I think the Hunter had one of the most builds that I've compiled for people to look at.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Some really good stuff. I know. It's taken me all day to compile it. So, wow. You know, I've actually done research and stuff.
This is a first.
This is right. More research than I did for my GCSE grade C English exam.
I know. I was there.
This is now part-time job, watching these videos and being like, hey, and also just playing the game, because like I got a 21% delirium. I've used it for about 3 seconds so far, so I have no real opinions on it yet.
One.
Yeah, I just got it like end of the day Friday.
Oh, and man, I'll tell you.
And I've run one forge with it now, and I'm like, it seems good. It has a really nice sound to it, but I honestly have no opinion because I haven't used it enough to really know anything about it, but I have it.
Dude. I'll tell you a story when we actually kind of like get stuff kind of going, like about last night. Oh man, I managed to get 2 wicked drops. It was getting to like, you know, only about one in the morning or so. And I was like, oh, I'm just grinding the powerful gear out at the moment, trying to get my light up. And I was like, oh, should I do the sword kind of powerful frame? That could get me another bit more light up. Should I do it? Yeah, all right. So I'm like, I'll give myself half an hour. Went to ADAC, obviously got the quest and everything, went to go and get the bits and pieces sorted. Went to the forge and I was like, oh, should I stay up a little bit longer and just do it tonight? And for some reason, I had like a feeling. I was like, no, I think I've got a weird feeling that I should do it today. Like, you should put in the time. I did it. Got the Striker Shorthand. What's it? Curated role, sorry, yeah, thank you. And then also got the Le Monarch as well, the bow. I was like, yes, all on the same drop. I was like, that was so lucky. I was like, couldn't believe it. I just had a feeling that I don't sound so weird, but I was like, no, come on, do it. Don't get to bed, do it. And I reckon you should get, you just had a feeling I was going to get a drop. I was amazed.
So, stupid question time. What is the curated role the masterwork for the Striker Shorthand?
Yeah.
I honestly don't, with a Surrounded and Assassin's Blade on it.
Yeah, man, I haven't even tried it yet.
This must be a week for it, because I just finished the Forge, and I got 2 Striker Shorthands to drop at the end of the Forge. Yeah, 2 at the same time. One Masterworked, the Curated Roll, and then it wasn't that I trashed, because I don't need it. I also had the Lamonarch drop this week, so it must be like Lamonarch week. Because I still can't get the Otun, but I got the Lamonarch to drop, so at least it's something I've gotten.
Yeah, I got all at the same time. I got the two Striker Shorthands and Le Monarch all on the same drop on Bogosia Forge.
And now you've used all your RNG for the rest of the year.
Yeah, pretty much. That's maybe my. I think that's the only drop I've had since I got my Yotan in the first week or so. I think it was first couple of weeks.
Yeah, I remember you messaging me saying that you got it before anyone else.
Oh, very fancy.
I love that gun. It's so good. It's so good.
So I hear.
If I thought you picked one up.
Oh, please don't go there.
Nope. There's a video that we're going to link in the show notes.
It's just you crying at a picture of the Yotan.
No. Although this is follow up from last week's episode of my quest for the service revolver from Zavala.
Oh yeah.
To see if he will actually give me one.
Did you get one?
I have one now. It's because I bought it. It's because I bought it from him. But after running 40 strikes in order to be able to buy it from him. Plus the strikes I've run on my Warlock, which I don't remember how many those are. So I've run 40 strikes on my Titan, and I had 2,068 Vanguard tokens that I went to Zavala with. And I fed him, basically 2,060 of them, because the 8 isn't enough to give you anything. I fed him all 2,060 tokens for however many packages that is. I'll have to count it up. I got a grand total of 0 service revolvers. Not a single one dropped in all of those packages. I've got some amazing main ingredient rolls. I've got some last dances. I had a full heavy slot full of outrageous fortune grenade launchers.
Not
a whole bunch of sniper rifles, nightshades, aimless midnights. Not a single service revolver. So at the very end, I did buy one from him, just so
is it loot in the
Night Demon tells me it is. He claims it's there.
I'm not sure.
No, I did the same kind of experiment, but I literally had to turn in one package and I got an outlaw kill clip on my first roll and I was like, that's it, I'm done. That's all I need. On the first roll.
I'm trying to think of a word I could use in your podcast. You're a...
Yeah.
Bleep something in. You're a bleep.
Yeah, so the one I bought from Zavala, it's got Zen Moment, Outlaw, Armor Piercing Rounds, and then the True Sight HCS Sight. It's just the one he's selling for once you run 40 strikes and give him some glimmer or whatever, that's the one he'll sell. Yeah. So at least I have it, because it wasn't even in my collection before. In the video I showed in my collection about 1,000 tokens and I'm like, see, it's not here. It's never dropped for me. So I was like, let me buy one to at least have one in the collection to at least, maybe tell the game that maybe I'm worthy of another one.
Huh.
Yeah. 2,060 tokens in.
Nothing.
Zero service revolver drops. Everything else in the world. And I'm sure I lost a bunch of other stuff because I basically emptied out all 3 slots on my Titan for weapons, except for the ones I had equipped, because you can't empty that one. And then just started feeding tokens. So I'm sure I lost a bunch of stuff. I'm sure I lost a bunch of armor. It was like, your postmaster's full. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. Whatever goes to the postmaster and gets deleted, I'm not going to sweat it. I've got decent enough rolls on the Vanguard weapons already. If there's a God roll in there somewhere that got deleted, I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, zero service revolvers in 2,000 tokens.
It's so bad.
So my RNG is awesome.
Yeah.
As I said at the start of the show, before you guys arrived, Respawn isn't here this week. He's jet-setting around America, doing his job, saving the world, as he does. The only one that can do that is him. So we wish him well on his proper job. So no update to his Thorn quest this week, because he probably hasn't done that again.
Sounds like he's...
We'll chase him up.
Sounds like he's using that as a bit of an excuse, doesn't it? Oh, I'm off saving the world. I definitely did my Thorn quest, though, but I'm saving the world.
No, he didn't do it, and he probably hasn't done it yet, because he doesn't feel the need to do it.
Professionalism.
It's not his gun of choice. His gun of choice, apparently. So, shall we move in to this week at Bungie for the 4th of April, guys?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, okay.
All about Arc Week. We're finally here. We're not to Arc Week, but we're at the preview of Arc Week, which I've been curious about since it showed up on the calendar of Arc Week. What's it going to be? We don't know. But now at least we have some idea of what it's going to be. All right, so this week at Bungie for the 4th of April 2019, we're going to talk about some Arc Week.
Woo!
So we're getting ready for some high voltage. A storm is brewing. Next week we'll kick off what we've been calling Arc Week. Our goal for this happening has been to take the element that makes our sandbox crackle and put it under a microscope. The most noticeable update we have is the many improved Arc subclass paths from the time before Forsaken. The time before and the mists before Forsaken. The week will also feature Arc Singe and Arc Bounties to synergize with your updated abilities. To provide a proving ground for all this new energy, Mayhem will also be available in the Crucible to let you experiment with your enhanced Arc abilities using shockingly short cooldowns. Arc Week will also feature one of the most prolific Arc weapons ever created, the Thunderlord Exotic Machine Gun. If you weren't able to complete this quest to obtain Thunderlord last year, you will now have from April 9th to April 23rd to revisit the Cosmodrome and add it to your collection. So yeah, if you missed it the first time around, you're going to have a couple weeks to go get your Thunderlord so you can Thunderlord your way through everybody else with Arc Week.
Have you got Thunderlord priority?
I do. Anything I can perform a quest to accomplish, that I can do. Anything that's RNG-based, good luck. So I do have my Thunderlord, as I know Night Demon does, and now we're going to go to Night Demon, and he's going to talk about all the good subclass changes that are coming with Arc Week. All the good arciness. We're going to crackle and sparkle, and things will be good.
Yes, I am. So there have been quite a few changes to the Arc subclasses for all the different characters. So first of all, we have the Striker Code of the Juggernaut, which is the bottom path. So it says, this path is all about punching enemies and getting better at shooting them, and shooting enemies to get better at punching them. So we want to further incentivize engaging in this loop and making doing so more visible and flashy. Shooting an enemy should make you feel like you are primed to strike with a melee. Punching an enemy and realizing your rage will make you feel like a more focused shot. So they've improved frontal assault. So this now increases all weapon damage for the duration of the buff. And it's 25% against combatants, 20% against players. Duration increased from 10 to 16 seconds, and the buff timer is now displayed on the HUD. The knockout, so the melee damage bonus is increased from 25% to 60%, and now also triggers once you have dealt 60% damage to a target. Any damage done after 60% will refresh the timer. Still also triggers off-shield pops, no longer consumes after one melee attack, and the duration is increased from 3 to 5 seconds. So now we have Arc Strider and Way of the Warrior, which is the top path.
Yay, Hunter! Woohoo!
And they say this path thrives on striking with precision and timing and is heavily melee focused. To enhance this loop, we are giving it a bit more nuance with higher potential payout. We want to allow for more room to execute and engage with both the path to success and the benefit once you do so to succeed. So combination blows. So bonus melee damage can now be stacked 3 times, and it requires a melee ability kill for each stack. So the buff increases melee damage from 60% per stack in PvE, and the buff increased melee damage by 22.7% in PvP. For comparison, this ability used to be 1 stack and increased melee damage by 50%. Kills with this ability now heal 40% health in addition to the starting health regen. And Deadly Reach, it's increased the buff duration from 6 to 8 seconds, and the buff is no longer consumed by a melee hit. Next we have Arc Strider Way of the Wind, which is the bottom path. And the notes for this say, this path is about quick movement and thriving under pressure. We want to increase your ability to survive while at low health and enhance your elusiveness so you can be more confident when in danger. This way you don't have to get a bonus when you're injured, you just have more control over what state you are in, and you can make more risk-reward choices. So disorientating blows, they've increased the disorientating blow distance by 50%, increased the duration of the disorient on players from 1.5 to 2 seconds. Focus breathing, they've increased the dodge recharge bonus while sprinting by 100%, and the combat meditation increased the bonus grenade and melee regeneration while bloodied by 25%. They've increased the lightning reflexes damage in a PvP from 25 to 40%, and they've increased the damage resistance while dodging from 63 to 70% in PvE. So moving on to the Warlocks, Stormcaller, with the Storm Trance Super top and bottom path. So the damage scales up to 150% over 5 seconds of continuous use of the attack, and they've updated the FX and the audio to support this functionality. Stormcaller Attunement of the Conductor, which is the top path. And the notes for this say, this path focused primarily, I can't say that.
Prominently. Dominantly.
This path focused.
Be professional, yeah.
This path focuses prominently on chain lightning, but we also want to better sell the fantasy of being a god of erratic and dangerous energy. We want you to be delighted and surprised by the chaos you cause. On top of that, we should make the choice of using your ability something better strategized around and reward you for doing so. So the chain lightning melee can now chain up to 5 times, up from 1, and each individual target can be hit twice. Chain damage is increased. Chain damage decreased from 50 to 31 damage per chain hit. The arc web can now chain to many, many more targets and back and forth between targets. The amount of chaining varies based on use, and they said that they'll leave that up to us to discover. They've increased the chain range from 10 meters to 12. Chain arc damage now reduces the cooldown of your grenade, works with arc web chains and chains from chain lightning melee, earn 3% energy per instance of chain damage in PvE, and 10% energy per instance of chain damage in PvP. Stormcaller attunement of elements, which is the bottom path. And they say, currently this path focuses on creating drone buddies for allies and staying close to them to dish out more rifts for the buddies therein. Generally, arc drone is short-lived and you need to stay close to your rift to keep it around. Now you will be able to take your power further, and if you stick with friends, you will be able to have it more and much more often, making this path more potential as a support. So, the electrostatic surge increases bonus regen rate of rift by 600% per nearby friendly guardian. This sounds insane, and it's a big boost you will definitely feel, but it was previously very low. They've extended the rift duration from 15 to 20 seconds. They've added a UI notification for when the buff is active. And the Arc Soul Buddy is now extended by 50%. So they now move on to other non-Arc supers that they've tuned. We have the Voidwalker Nova Warp super. So where they'd pulled that back a couple of months previous and reined it in because there was quite a lot of Nova Warping going on, they've decided they're going to buff it slightly with this patch coming on Tuesday, the 9th of April. So they say, clearly we swung a bit hard when we hit this previously. This should serve as a nice middle ground to settle into. So they've reduced the initial charge detonation energy cost by 20%. They've reduced the energy cost of holding the charge detonation by 7%. They've reduced the time required to fully charge the charge detonation from 0.9 seconds to 0.7 seconds. Reduced dark blink cost by 20% and increased the base super duration from 18 to 22 seconds. So I mean, the best thing to do is wait for a couple of YouTubers to put out a few videos and see what they say on how this is improved from where they took it back previously. So probably best waiting a couple of days or even after Arc Week to see what those changes have been for that one. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this. They're going to tune the Dawnblade Everlasting Fire perk. I saw a video recently in the last couple of weeks that I think it must have been on the Solar Burn for the Reckoning, which was last week previous. And he literally had a continuous Dawnblade going because every kill he got, it just kept recharging his super energy. So he was just like flying in air, just throwing the swords down at everything, moving up that bridge and just continually killed everything, and then, you know, was throwing it out to the sides of the snipers and taking them out. He just had a continuous super. So I think they've seen this, and now, similar to the striker that they reined back in a couple of weeks ago, we want to make sure this perk didn't allow for infinite supers in certain activities. We've increased the amount that you get back up front. Again, like their striker one, they've put diminishing returns on it so you can't go forever. This will still be a super you can extend much longer with skill. So they've tuned the amount of super gained from the Everlasting Fire. The initial returns increase from 10% to 13% super energy, and then the returns decay linearly over the course of 30 kills from 13% down to 0.75 returns per kill. They then go on to say, you may be asking about Spectral Blade, something they're going to be working on, not for this patch, but they'll, you know, work on a few tweaks, or they're working on a few tweaks at the moment, and they'll get back to us and let us know what they're going to do, because they don't want to kind of bury that one into the ground as well, I think. Otherwise, there's going to be hunter uproar.
Yeah, that'll be good, because I know Spectral Blades is is just sort of rampant in the Crucible right now. You see one coming toward you, you might as well just, you know, pop your emote and wait for death to come for you, because it's coming for you. It's sort of similar to the Nova Warp. You know, I was way late to the game in getting my third subclass unlocked on my Titan and my Warlock, and I finally got the Nova Warp unlocked a couple weeks ago, and I've used it a few times, even in, like, you know, Blind Well and things where it's not competitive, but yeah, it just doesn't feel powerful at all. It was like, I remember before they nerfed it, it was just devastating, like the Spectral Blades is right now. So it's good to see they're, you know, again, looking at these things and trying to tune them, but not tune them too much.
So who would like to take us through the patch notes preview? Would you like to give us a reading on that, Scar?
Yeah, man, go for it. So I'm going to do what you do now. Patch note preview. Next week, update 2.2.1 will be deploying on April 9th. Here's a preview of some of the changes you can look forward to along with the ARC week rollout. Catalyst. 4 new exotic weapon catalysts will be available to drop in Nightfall, Strikes, and the Crucible. We've got the Prospector in Nightfall and Strikes. The Rat King, which we finally have now, Nightfall and Strikes. Hardlight, Nightfall and Strikes. And Suros Regime, only in the Crucible, though. We have the Warlock Bloom ability, fixing an issue where the Bloom ability would not deal damage. Sounds great. Zer's Inventory will now offer random rolled perks for armor. Infusion, fixing an issue where the vow could not be infused above 650. Did you have that problem, Demon?
I haven't bothered looking at it since I got it to drop. I just left it in the vault.
Fixing an issue where the Braytech RWP Mark II could not be infused above 600. Gambit Prime weapons. Most Gambit Prime weapons will now have a chance to drop as match completion rewards from Gambit Prime. Increasing drop rate for Gambit Prime weapons from the Reckoning. Both Gambit Prime and the Reckoning will have increased drop rates for weapons after each completion without a drop until players are guaranteed a reward. Gambit Prime. An invasion kill will heal 8% of the Primeval's health, down from 12%. The invasion portal cooldown time during the Primeval phase will increase to 40 seconds, up from 30 seconds. This cooldown triggers after a player has been killed or successfully returns from an invasion. Gambit Prime will now count to unlock the weekly Gambit Clan Engram. Quests and bounties. Power Surge bounties that have been deleted or expired will now be available on the Drifter. Each bounty can still be completed only once per character. Yes, sir, I'm a closer. Weekly Gambit Prime bounty will now award 4 points for a win, 2 points for a loss, and with a completion value of 20 points. And all 4 weekly roll bounties for Gambit Prime will now grant powerful helmet rewards. Now that sounds a bit sexy.
I like the idea of the Zer's inventory now offering random rolls for the armor, because that's something I think we'd spoken about previously on a couple of podcasts, or maybe in private parody, wasn't it? That
absolutely.
With Zer, it'd be lovely to get him to bring something like near enough a curated role, a bit like we had with the Insurmountable Skullfall a couple of weeks back, where, you know, it came with the punching perk. You know, you punch more people and you get kills more people, then, you know, it gives you more super energy. That's perfect synergy. And I think that's, if Zer was bringing stuff like that, there would be more of a reason to go and see Zer.
Yeah, I mean, man, Zer just needs to be relevant, and he is not relevant at all, unless if you're coming new to the game, you're quite fresh. Maybe you've got, you said before, you get it over Christmas, or you picked it up recently. Like, yeah, Zer's awesome. You can get those year ones, you get the year two, you get some exotics. Yeah, you probably would have a chance to get, or could be bothered to get, kind of thing. But why did you go there? To pick up the bounty? You have a look and you go, okay, yeah, cheers, mate. Got all of that. Thank you.
I always look at what he's got. It's always interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not one for, you know, the bow targeting on every single piece that I've got. But
yeah, when's the last time you picked up anything from Zer?
I sometimes buy the Fated Engram just to see if I can get a re-roll on something that he hasn't got, that maybe, you know, is a different armor piece that may give me something decent.
Yeah.
You know, right. And I've had a few decent rolled ones out of that. But yeah.
Man, I'll go and visit. I'm like, oh, cool. What have you got? I've got all of that. And I'm, as you, you know, very well aware, very much a casual player. You know, a couple of hours, if that, kind of a week probably, with all work and whatnot. And even I've got everything that Zer's selling.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's why it's good that they're going to give him a bit more of a purpose.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you're, you know, if everyone's going to visit him anyway, at least, you know, for the next, was it 5 or 6 weeks while the, you know, the 9 bounties are going on, you're going to go see him anyway, at least for that, at least have there be a chance at stuff happening, at least with the Forsaken Exotics too. You know, some of us have gotten some Forsaken Exotics. I know some folks haven't seen a single Forsaken Exotic drop. So at least, you know, in the last couple of weeks, he's sold some Forsaken Exotics for the three classes. So at least it gives you some path to get those where, you know, it's really just sort of feast or famine, and it's a lot of famine and a tiny little feast between, you know, like you were saying before we started the show proper, you'd seen a couple of good drops this week, but then it could be, you know, weeks or months before you see another exotic or you see another, you know, Gambit Prime weapon or something drop. I was looking at the list of Gambit Prime weapons because I think I've seen, you know, my Gnawing Hunger that I really enjoy and the that auto rifle, and I've got a couple of bug out bags to drop, but I was looking at the list, and we'll put a list in the show notes of, you know, where to find the Gambit Prime weapons, you know, and where the curated rules drop from. And some of these, yeah. I'm just like the Soul Survivor Sniper, the, you know, just in case sword. I'm like, I didn't, you know, I guess they're out there. I've played a bunch of Gambit Prime at this point and haven't seen any of those drop. So it's nice that they're upping the rates on that a little bit. I think I've gotten, you know, 2 bug out bags and 1 Gnawing Hunger and maybe one of the shotguns that I can't remember, the Last Man Standing shotgun. But beyond that, I haven't seen any of this stuff drop. So it's good to see them buffing that a little bit.
No, I think on the first couple of games, I've managed to get the bug out bag to curated roll, and that is literally the only thing I've ever had drop. I've not had anything else from that at all. And I played it a lot, and it's just not getting, well, mainly blues, I think. More blues than bloody anything.
Of course, and then Nike will come on and tell us that he's got every single Gambit Prime weapon with its curated roll. And
Yeah, of course he will.
I'm going to stay silent in the corner. He's
trying to keep it in.
I may have a few curated rolls of a Night Watch.
Knew it.
Yeah.
An Outlast.
Which ones have you got?
The Scout Rifle, the Pulse Rifle, and I think I got the Sidearm to drop the other day.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a Sidearm.
Yeah. Right, yeah. That's why I pulled up the list, and like I said, we'll throw it in the show notes, because, yeah, I knew the Auto Rifle and the SMG, but I hadn't, you know, in the Shotgun, I hadn't seen the rest of these. I know I'd seen people do videos on some of the rest of them, but I didn't realize those were Gambit Prime weapons. It's like, my review of the Doomsday. It's like, okay, what are you again? Where do you drop from? There's too many guns for me to keep in my head from where they come from. It's like, okay, there's a review of this. I'm like, I'll watch your review when I have one to care about it. Until then, I don't really care because I don't have the weapon.
Well, look, I could link a video in the show notes detailing, if anybody's interested, that the specific guns come from the specific weeks, and you don't necessarily have to do a tier 3 to get them to drop. I did a tier 2 to help a guy out who just needed to upgrade his synthesizer this week, and on doing that, I got the sidearm to drop. So you can just do a tier 2 and these weapons will drop for you. But there's specific weapons that drop each week. So I believe this week is shotgun, sidearm, something else and something else. And then the week that the Oryx witch thing is the final boss, you get the spare ration tan cannon, pulse rifle, I believe, and a couple of the others. They've kind of split them over the 2 weeks. So you'll find different people farming for them over each week. And I'll put a link in the show notes. I think Azacross or Houndish have done a video on where you can get either sets from. So if you're interested in farming for those weapons, I'll put a link.
Yeah, I've got nothing dropped from the Reckoning yet. To be honest, I literally completed my first tier 2, I think, yesterday. Obviously, I haven't played with you guys, but rolling with just randoms, it's like hours and hours, and finally I should have done a tier 2, and I got nothing from it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, the matchmaking, especially when you're going in, I mean, I've run a couple with Night Demon, a couple with Panoramix 18, and, you know, even with two of us, at least I know that two of us will stick around, but, you know, trying to do that with just you, because I've done a bunch like you with just 3 random people, and just, you know, I appreciate the matchmaking is there, but I wish it would sort of, like, give you, like, a start, you know, sort of like the Forges, like, let's start with 4 people, because there are a number of times I've run, you know, the tier 2s and some of the 3s where it's, like, either it started us with 4 and the 4th person just left, or the 4th person, you know, just never showed up, it started us with 3 and then just it never gave us, you know, I ran, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 runs of it, and it just never gave us a 4th person in the match, it just never matched me as a 4th person, for whatever reason. It's like I had to quit out and go back in, and then it was like, okay, now we'll put you in the queue and find you some people, because there's some things you could, you know, you could probably pull off a tier 2 with 3, of course you can, if you're glad or something, you can pull off a tier 2 with, you know, 2 people or 1 person, but, you know, for most of us, you can pull off a tier 1 definitely, and tier 2 with, you know, 3 people, but if you're doing a tier 3 or something, again, depending on the perks and the roles, you know, you're not going to be able to pull that off. You just, you know, you need more people to do the DPS or need more people to get up that bridge.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating getting stuck on that loop of just never getting that fourth person. You're like, I've got to go back to orbit, queue back in, and see what happens.
Well, you also got a problem just the sometimes you get some very weird kind of players to play with. Or like you get the ones that just run up to the bridge and they're not waiting for the rest of the team, so the timer starts before you get to the first circle, kind of thing. Like, what are you doing? Just wait for the team and the timer will kind of start at the right time, kind of thing.
Yeah. You find a lot of people just run straight to that first circle rather than wait for the rest of them that are kind of picking up ammo, picking up orbs to get to the door. Then you all move on as one. Yeah, I know what you mean.
And you've already wasted like almost 10 seconds by the time everyone gets in the first circle. And it's like, you haven't got enough time there. Like,
yeah, you kind of start on the back foot at that point.
Yeah, yeah. And then you got the ones that literally only face down the bridge and they just literally fire down the bridge and you're like, dude, there's stuff that will spawn behind you as well. Do you want to kind of, you know, pay attention? You know, maybe turn around?
No, that's your job. They've left you to do that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that does sound like something to do, yeah.
I did, this week, I did an LFG for Tier 3 because I wanted to get a couple of helmets. And I don't know if they're listening, but Thunder Lizard 31 and X1 Doc, who I ran with this week, really good guys. We spent most of the day, you know, running Reckoning and Gambit Prime, and we did really well. Just three of us communicating, and then we had a couple of blueberries coming in. But we did it on the hardest blooming day. It was Prism, and I think it was Heavyweight, but the Prism was really messing us up with, you know, the different burns, because yes, it was a solar week, but even if you started throwing out your supers and your heavy when it was on Arc or Void, you hardly did anything. But the moment it turned to solar, it was golden. It was fantastic. They just melted and went down those two nights. So I want to say thank you for those guys for helping me out this week.
Yeah. So, I mean, still on the Reckoning, I mean, I'd be interested to know what you guys what kind of weapons and what kind of setup you use for especially like for Tier 2 and Tier 3. What do you kind of roll for, like, your kinetic? Do you carry on with pulse rifle or do you shotgun for, like, close quarters? Especially for, like, when you start going up the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We always have sort of the same debate whether I go, because I've run a couple with the Malfeasance for the taking kills, but honestly, yep. I find myself going back to the Telesto almost more than anything else, because it's just such a good, I mean, for killing the blockers in Gambit and just for clearing those adds of taken, the Telesto is just brutal going up that bridge.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if nothing else, you can throw, you know, if people are throwing up half walls or things, or if you're in a bubble, you know, throw some Telesto bolts onto the side of that bubble, two shots of that. It'll give you, when those thralls try to run in or when the big guys try to run in on you, they're running through those Telesto bolts in addition to your grenade, in addition to, you know, people pumping them full of shotguns and everything else. So it's a great sort of, you know, turtling close quarter. Like, you know, you're going to come to me, I'm going to be ready for you. And then just throwing a machine gun on. Like I said, I'm excited to use the 21% Delirium I just got to drop, but I've been rolling with the Hammerhead or when I'm not running Telesto, run the Thunderlord. Because it just rips through things at close quarters.
Yeah, actually, Thunderlord's a good shot, man. Yeah, all the arc chain, isn't it? That and, well, I suppose that or the Risk Runner.
Yeah.
Because it was considering Wrath Demon's, like, the Risk Runner kind of king kind of thing at the moment, isn't he?
I love my Risk Runner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of brought it back, I think, like, from everyone was like, what is this gun? It's useless. And then suddenly, like, Demon's getting some decent kills out of it. And everyone kind of picked it back out of the vault and was like,
I wouldn't personally say that I've brought it back. I'd say that other people have brought it back.
Nope, it was solely you.
It was you.
It was all you. No one else has ever used it. It's all you, buddy. We're giving you credit.
I don't even know what YouTube is, so okay. It has to be you. So, you mean definitely kind of gave us more of a heads up about it. What kind of subclass are you at the moment for you to get in your Tier 2 and Tier 3?
I still run my Arc build. It's perfect.
What, with Arc Strider?
No, I'm a Titan. Read the title. Two Titans and a Hunter. You're the temporary Hunter week, remember?
Hang on. Is that why you call two Titans and a Hunter? Because you're two Titans?
Uh-huh.
That's clever.
You can see the light bulb coming on over his head as we talk. It's like, oh, that makes sense now.
It does.
So, let's move on to the rest of the...
Oh, I'm a Hunter.
Yeah, let's...
Bang in.
Let's move on to the rest of the patch notes, and then we can get on to build for characters. Perry, did you want to do the update? Back to the 2.2.1 resolved issues preview, please.
We've resolved issues. We fixed things.
No, they're previewing resolving the issues. They're just going to.
They're thinking about it, man. They're not actually going to do it.
You remember that we did this like a couple of weeks back with the Like a Diamond Triumph that they previewed that they'd resolved. Well, they've resolved it again.
Well, we think we fixed it, you know, because video games are hard. Things are hard. Yes, they are. You break one thing, you fix four others, you break six things after that.
And I do feel sorry for the players that have got that achievement, but not got the achievement, if you see what I mean.
Right, yeah, who have completed it but not gotten credit for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, one day you wake up in your service regime, you can no longer look down the sights on it because it's a lovely yellow color. Because games are hard. All right, so Destiny 2 Update 2.2.1 Resolved Issues Preview. So these aren't things that are fixed yet, but with the upcoming launch of Destiny 2 Update 2.2.1, we'd like to take the opportunity to give you a sampling of the player-impacting issues that have emerged in Destiny 2 over the past several months. This update will go live on April 9th, so when Arc Week begins, you know, that Tuesday reset, you're also going to get the 2.2.1 update, so remember to download your update before you jump into Arc, everybody. The Like a Diamond Triumph, once again, people who have become eligible during the window when it was available will have this triumph unlocked retroactively. We hope, we think, hopefully. Impacted players will receive a notice in-game when this fix begins rolling out to their accounts. So if you've become Like a Diamond, you should actually be Like a Diamond at this point. We'll see. The Acting Bad, Looking Good Pursuit is not completing for players with a full set of Ancient Apocalypse armor. So if you've gone into game with your full armor set, it's not giving you credit for it yet. It will hopefully give you credit after this update goes live. The Obsidian Crystal, it doesn't always drop for players on the unidentified frame quest of the Izanagi's Burden. So if you're trying to get that sniper rifle unlocked, again, you should now get the step to get that done. The Wishender. Players cannot see behind walls with the Wishender while invisible. And that's, of course, you know, the exotic bow where you're supposed to see behind the walls. Well, if you're invisible, like if you're a hunter, you can't do that. Hopefully you will after this. As we mentioned before, the Vow infusion. The Vow currently cannot be infused past 650 power. That should be resolved. The Braytech RWP Mark II infusion couldn't be infused past 600. That should now be resolved. The Stronghold power ammo. The Stronghold consumes power ammo when blocking with the Black Talon. And that's the Titan exotic gauntlets that while you're blocking with a sword, it should not take any ammo. Well, right now with the Black Talon, it is taking ammo. That should be fixed after this update rolls out. The Weight of Guilt emblem does not display its purchase price after being unlocked from purchase from Lord Saladin, which a little late on this one, but at least while the next Iron Banner rolls around, if you've done the requirements for the Weight of Guilt, that emblem will now be unlocked. I believe it was you needed some glimmer or legendary shard or something to purchase it, and that wasn't being displayed in games. So people were going, I should be able to buy this, and I can't buy this. Why? Because they weren't showing the requirements for it. And for a whole completed list of all these patch notes, you can go to the updates page, and once 2.2.1 is live on April 9th, it should all be fixed for you. We'll see.
And if it isn't, we'll give you an update next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Like a Diamond update from now until the end of time. I don't even remember what the Like a Diamond update is. I think, isn't that one of the raid ones or something that I'm not going to be able to do anyway?
It's the Flawless Raid, I think. You have to do the Petra's yes. Run. Don't die, basically.
Yeah, so that's got to be irritating if you've done that and still aren't getting credit for it. Because I'm sure that's also part of one of the seals to unlock. Yeah, people are waiting on that one.
So we have some new emotes for Arc Week. So if you're excited about Arc Week and you want everybody to know about it, there is one more way that you can express your electric personality. Three emotes will be available in bundles for direct purchase from one for each class. So you can show off your mastery of arts even when your supers are on cooldown. So you've got one for Warlock, Hunter, and Titan. They look pretty cool. They're in the This Week at Bungie. We'll link in the show notes. You can have a look at those. They do a little quick time video of what they look like. Are you guys going to be purchasing these?
Yeah.
Did they say whether it was silver? Maybe I missed it. Did they say whether it was silver or if you could get it for Bright Dust?
No, it's going to be silver.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
No, I'm not.
I assume it'll be silver. Yeah, it's as much as I like the Titan, you know, punching his fist angrily, I don't know if it's worth real money for it.
Yeah,
I do like the look of the Arc Strider once swelling his bow round. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that one. And I wish the Warlock one was a little bit better. It's like, look at this lovely orb I have. It's like, I get you're a Warlock and a Magician and a Wizard, but come on, you know, give me something else other than look at my pretty Arc thing. But hey, maybe people like it. Yeah, I don't know if it's worth the real cash for it.
I would like the Iron Banner one to come back. The one that, you know, you swing the giant axe and then it stabs into the floor and then the shield comes up. I missed that the first time that it came round. And I'm a bit gutted that I didn't purchase it because I thought, oh, I'll get it on the next Iron Banner. And then it didn't show up. And I was like, oh, I really like that. I might have got that this time. Yeah.
Yeah. See, so Bungie, if you're listening, you know, if you want to make some extra money, put those things out there that cost extra money and people will buy them from you. If you don't put them out there, no one's going to buy them from you.
Yeah. We'll put them out there again. You know, people, right. You know, see them, they want them again. I was less inclined to buy the projections for the ghost.
Yeah, what was the point of that?
Yeah, the projections for the ghost, if you're going to give me 50,000 of them, I care about an extra one. I'm sorry, Bungie. Although, I have to say, I got the Ursa Furiosa ornament to drop this week. And let me see, I don't remember what it's called, but it's got lovely little bears on the shoulders. You actually have little, like, you know, stone bears on each shoulder. I really dig it. I wish there was, again, it's a little ornament. It's the Ursus Maritimus. I'm sure I'm butchering it, but you've got lovely little, you know, stone bears on each shoulder along with your, you know, ribbons and then your big bear icon painted on each shoulder. But you have little stone bears that poke out of each shoulder. I really like it. So, you know, again, ornaments, they're silly, they're fun. It doesn't make my gameplay any better or worse, but I appreciate that they're there. So, that's my fun ornament update for the week.
There you go. You got a new regular bit there. Ornament update.
Which pretty thing could you put on your character this week to be slightly more fashionable?
So at the end of this week at Bungie, there was an update to PvP in Destiny's Future. Now this, I think, all stemmed from the fact that John Wojnarowski and Josh Hamrick have both left Bungie to pursue other things. And the community suddenly panicked. There was a lot of Reddit posts gone up about the future of PvP going forward in Destiny 2 and possibly none in Destiny 3. So Bungie came out this week and just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware that there have been a lot of questions about the future of the Crucible in Destiny and what plans we have to support PvP going forward. So they say, yesterday we let you know during the Bungie Bounty live stream that we have no plans to remove PvP from the Destiny franchise. A lot of feedback on Crucible and how it could be improved comes in the form of suggested sandbox changes that would impact the flow of combat in PvP. As you can see from the section above, we are still committed to updating the sandbox as frequently as we can and have an update going out next week. We have bigger Crucible changes planned for later this year, but aren't ready to talk about them in the next couple of weeks. So they'll hopefully share more with us sometime in the summer. In the meantime, we will continue to provide updates to matchmaking, quality of life fixes, sandbox balances, and glory chances.
Yeah, I think they're going to make some big thing of it over summer, because you've got they're expecting to drop something in autumn again, aren't they? Some massive change.
They've said that there's been a couple of leaks on Reddit with Anon the Nine and a couple of other people that have been close to Bungie and that have been right on a few of the leaks so far, with the Thorn and the Last Word coming back. And they were saying that, you know, that Destiny 2 will have an update similar to the Forsaken update with an annual pass for the next year, for year 3. But it won't be like the Taken King that we got for Destiny 1. But Bungie haven't kind of confirmed or denied anything as yet. I mean, if they're very clever, they would have probably done what they're going to do and then add more to it, so it doesn't look like they've got a leak. Or maybe they do want, they don't care about the leaks, to be honest. They're just gonna do what they want to do.
I would have thought, I mean, a lot of these, like all the movie studios do these leaks, they're all quite strategic. I mean, I would say it'd be very difficult to kind of, you know, basically what I'm getting at is that they're allowing certain leaks to create a buzz for a product or a movie or a game. So a lot of the leaks are there to create more enthusiasm for it, almost.
Yeah, true. Hype,
yeah, yeah.
So yeah.
This Anon the Nine and a few others are probably like, yeah, they're allowed to do it to go, oh, you know, you shouldn't know this, but you can. And it's always doing is creating buzz for the game or anything like that.
Yeah,
so
I mean, suppose, yeah,
they've got to be on top.
I was going to say, it's a bit like the Rise of Iron poster that was leaked, wasn't it? That perfect poster that somebody had unrolled from a thing and taken a picture on, put it on Reddit a couple of years back for Destiny 1. And they were like, no, this is a fake, you know. Oh, no, it's even got the Bungie symbol, Activision symbol on it. And then it comes out like about a week later, oh, no, that's, you know, that's ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, man, it's the same with this, like I said, the movie thing and the game and all the whole thing of thing. You know, a lot of it is very strategic and clever marketing, really. That's what it is. You think about, like, the whole kind of Deadpool thing, isn't it? Like Reynolds and that, we just leak this bit of footage and then create a buzz and then suddenly the movie gets made kind of thing and all this other stuff. It's clever marketing, but it's something that we kind of need these days because we kind of think, oh, you know, if we found something, then we're going to tell a friend and he'll tell a friend. And there's still that word of mouth kind of thing going on.
Yeah, I think it has kept a bit of excitement in the community for people that are genuinely excited about the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it could be also just one of those things of they're trying to take the temperature, saying, you know, let's put some things out there and just see, you know, of course, you're going to have all the vitriol of, oh my God, never playing Destiny again, you know, all the people screaming, but you're going to have some of the content creators and some of the other folks on Reddit and other places say, you know, okay, this is what you're going to do. Here's some constructive feedback. Here's some, you know, what I think is good or what I think is bad. And, trying to get some, you know, sort of like live user testing, you know, community feedback without saying, this is what we're doing. Just sort of putting it out there and then just seeing sort of, taking the community's temperature of, okay, if we do this, maybe we can do it, but we can do it in a better way. Like I know, you know, when they invited all the streamers to Bungie before the Black Armory and when Escalation Protocol was dropping, they were like, oh yeah, you know, we made some big changes where they were going to do this one thing. And they were like, and we were all like, no, don't do it that way. That's absolutely a terrible way to do it. Do it this other way. You know, I don't remember if folks ever said, you know, what that particular change was, but they were like, you know, no, this is not a good way to do this. So maybe it's, you know, more of that saying, you know, we can't invite the entire community to Bungie to say, hey, here's a preview of what's going on, but sort of, leak some things and sort of do a community feedback that way. And because it can, like I said, because they obviously read Reddit and they read Twitter and they read, you know, they look at the video content. You know, obviously they're out there, you know, looking at what the community is saying. So it could just be another way to do that. Since again, you know, everyone says, "Well, you can't invite me to, you know, why don't I get the invite to Bungie? Why is it this creator or that creator?" Well, you know, some of these folks are getting invited who aren't content creators and YouTubers and streamers. But you know, some people, I'm sure, they're also reading the Reddit posts again of the people making thoughtful comments, not the ones screaming vitriol at them, but the ones with actual ideas. And two, I was just looking at, you know, the gameplay calendar for the season, you know, for the Penumbra launch, you know, in the June August timeframe, they've got a new 6-player match made activity on the list. In addition to a new raid, so we're going to get the new raid, but we're also going to get another 6-person match made activity. So maybe that's a new Crucible something. They also have 2 redacted things listed for the, you know, for all, this is all for the annual content holders or the annual pass holders for content. So so we're going to see a new raid, a new 6-player, you know, match made activity, which could be Crucible, could be something else, and then 2 redacted events, which could be anything. So you know, this might be a new Trials-esque thing. It could be a new Gambit thing. You know, who knows what it's going to be, but it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to put out.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I love the fact that we're trying to get the community feedback, always a bit kind of like, look, these YouTubers, you know, the streamers and these professional players and whatnot, they're not, you know, the average player. They're a minority. And although I don't want to have to feel like my game has been dictated by a few players who's, yeah, they don't have a real job. They're sitting around for 20 hours a day playing Destiny and stuff. Like, I want the community of gamers actually are the gamers to kind of maybe kind of make more suggestions rather than just the handful of people who are just kind of almost believe in their own hype these days, a bit kind of off themselves. It's like, yeah.
I think the thing is, though, with YouTubers, they have a lot of people in their community that express their views and their opinions to them. And Bungie then look to the YouTubers to then feed that information back to them through the YouTubers. But like you were saying, I think in some ways that the YouTubers like to feed back what they want to see as well. And I think I was saying to Parody, it's a bit easier for when you get 20 people in a room rather than 20,000 people in a room to convince 20 people in a room this is the best way forward for our game and the way we're doing it.
Yeah,
but you can convince 20 people to then take that information back to their communities and go, look, this is what they're doing. This is going to be good for you. You know, and it worked with Destiny 2. People thought Destiny 2 was going to be fantastic. The YouTubers and streamers came back out of that going, you know, they've listened to us. We're going to do 4v4 in the Crucible. There's this, there's that. And, you know, as soon as the average player got their hands on it, it was like, I'm sorry, but we didn't ask for 4v4 in the Crucible. We were happy with 6v6. Could you please put it back?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no, we've gone too far down the path. Now we've gone to 6v6, and I think there's a lot more people in the community that are happier with it. Competitive is still 4v4, but then people were then saying they wanted to go back to 3v3 for trials. So I think
I think you guys have definitely touched upon it before and made a very good point that, you know, the people actually are playing the game are not the YouTubers and the streamers and all these other people. You know, we're actually just kind of playing it because you actually enjoy it and stuff. We're not, this isn't kind of our livelihood, and we're not trying to dictate kind of, it's just because we're amazing players, we want it this particular way. Well, what about everyone else? It's like you're just thinking about yourself kind of thing. How about you think about the community rather than your ratings on your YouTube channel?
Well, I understand where they're coming from with, you know, I mean, I had a few friends that used to do streaming for trials and carry people, and their channels completely died because they weren't up there. They weren't like the Dattos. They weren't like, you know, the Cammy Cakes. They weren't like Lucky and Buttwipe. They weren't, you know, these people that had...
Who? What was that last one?
Lucky and Buttwipe. They are that
sophisticated. Not sophisticated. No, we're that mature. We're giggling at Buttwipe.
They didn't have those communities that were so large that they could then take onto other games or into other game modes, you know, and keep their followers going. They were such a small group that when trials died out, their channels kind of died out. So I understand, you know, that some of these YouTubers get frustrated with the fact that things are being cut off by Bungie and they can't go any further, and you know, it's hard to just keep playing PvE over and over again and keep getting viewers in, you know, whereas the trials thing, it was more about, you know, what plays they were doing and just people watching how they approach the situation, and I think it was a bit more exciting for people to watch, and I understand that. So I understand where they're coming from. I mean, I've been really happy with the level of content that's been put out, you know, for this annual pass. There's not been a week that there hasn't been something to do. You know, if it's a week that they haven't specifically gone the roadmap, there's been a week where I can either step back from Destiny and take a little bit of a break and go, you know, I'm not having to rush to do all of that in the 1 week. I can just go off and do like one or two things, get a powerful reward here and there, you know, spend a bit more time with family. Or I can go off and do like a few of the triumphs that I'm missing or a few of the collections that I'm missing. You know, it's not been that kind of pressure to get everything done. So even when they, you know, I think I've said previously, you know, we've gone from Christmas, we've had the Dawning, we had maybe a week off, then there was Iron Banner, then there was another week off, or there was Crimson Days. But their schedule of putting different things out, you know, and you'd have these full curse weeks in between, and you'd have other things that would pop up, you know, and quests that would pop up with like the Last Word and the Thunderlord, all these different things that happen each week. And I think that's what keeps, you know, the healthy player base going, you know. And we had Iron Banner last week coming off the tail end of, you know, doing all these other things, and people are still trying to increase their power and their light. And, you know, and this week we've kind of had a down week, but it's a full curse week again. People want to do their Shattered Throne solo if they're going for that, you know. So it's just a week that they can practice that, or they could go into the Reckoning and do their helmets. That, you know, it's just a really good setup. And then we've got the Arc Week coming, and then we've got more exotic quests. We've got the Spring event coming up. Then we've got another power increase, you know, another exotic quest, another raid. So I think what they've done so far in the last year has been fantastic for just average players. You know, it's like you were saying, you can only play for a couple of hours, maybe once or twice every evening. And I think that's what us average Destiny players are like. You know, we jump on when we can, you know, we're not streaming. We're not going to be there like 6 to 12 hours a day waiting for someone to come and watch us. And I do appreciate those players that do that. And the YouTubers that make these videos, because if they didn't make the videos, then you wouldn't find out these new exciting things that you can do with the game. And I think that's the good thing about the community, is that it's a very sharing community. If somebody finds something, it's immediately shared. And this week, and I sent the video to Parody, there was a video by He's Forever, who's on YouTube, and he put out a video saying there had been a glitch with the sentry on the Gambit Prime. And if you put a piece of sentry armor on and killed, you've got the double kills, I think it is, for the +3 on the sentry set. if you put a piece of armor on, got the double kills, and got the stack up to 5, it would then give you extra damage against Taken. But if you changed your loadout and took off the sentry items before you started damaging the Taken, it would stay with you. So it would constantly stay on your character until you got killed, or, you know, so you'd find people hiding from invaders and things like that just to keep it up. And
yeah, they've disabled that now, haven't they?
Yeah, they disabled it. It was literally within 2 hours of me sharing the video with Parody.
Yeah.
It was like, we've put a tweet out and it's now, you know, stopped for now.
Yeah. And there's something I wanted to mention about that, because I saw a tweet from Holtman before I saw it in game. I actually got, when I logged into Destiny, you know, I got that full screen pop-up of, hey, there's a bug with this, we've disabled this. So there's, you know, they said a couple weeks back, we're going to start putting more notifications in game of things happening, because I know people don't look at the Reddit or the YouTube or, you know, Twitter. They don't follow the game outside the game. Some people play Destiny of, I go to my console or my PC, I turn on the game and I play it. So it was really nice to see a big in-game pop-up of, hey, there's a bug with this, we've disabled it for the time being, here's what's going on. So you don't jump into the game and go, why is my armor set not accessible, or why is my armor set not working? So I really appreciate them putting that where people are seeing it, because there's so much confusion around, you know, again, if you don't follow the game outside the game, there's so much confusion of, why is this thing broken, or, you know, why is this thing disabled? So I really appreciate them doing that.
Yeah, it was a nice touch there, man.
Yeah, I think that's what the community is, a very good sharing community. And, you know, once somebody does discover something, it's either put on the Reddit or it's put out on YouTube. And it's really nice to see that. So that, saying that, we've got quite a few builds that I'm about to go into for Arc Week.
Woohoo!
Yay! So for this week in Arc Week, I've found quite a few YouTubers that have done haven't done it specifically for Arc Week, but they, over the last couple of months, they've been doing like a build with a certain exotic weapon or armor piece. And I remembered seeing all these different ones, and some of them we had featured in a couple of the other videos. I think leading up to Gambit Prime, we'd featured a couple of these, and then there's been a couple more come out since. So as with all the builds, mods and exotics are important, but not essential. So it's handy to check the gunsmith in the tower each day after daily reset for the mods, and keep a check on Xur for the weekends for the exotics that you might not have. So some of these builds are exotic centric, but that doesn't stop you from even kind of trying out the subclass or the specific characters to try out and put these builds together over time. So even if you can't put this full build together during Arc Week, it's worth looking at and thinking, oh, you know, I could use this if I'm going to go into Reckoning tier 1, 2, and 3 in the future, or I'm going to go and play in Gambit, and this is something that I could do to help support the team. So starting off, I have a Warlock build by Jumping Productions. So this is an overpowered Stormcaller build, and the build centers around the Crown of the Tempest exotic helmet, and the arc ability kills increase recharge rates of all your arc abilities, with the middle tree attunement of control. So with the build, he's got 5 grenade mods on all his armor, and if you can get Ashes to Acids on your helmet, then this is going to synergize with the build. And the guy shows you that in the gameplay how he uses it. He goes into a Lost Sector and he gets 4 supers in the Lost Sector. He does use masterworked weapons to generate more orbs as he's kind of going through and killing. So he's using all the different parts of the build, and he's using masterworked weapons. So this is a really good PvE build. All of these videos I'll link in the show notes. There is another one for the Warlock, which is the Chaos Reach Warlock build by Kamikakes Gaming. So for this build, he uses the Last Word exotic hand cannon. So there is a quest for that. So hopefully you should have got it, or you can go and get this one. And he uses the Warlock exotic gauntlets, the Karnstein armlets. So the perk on this is the Vampire's Caress. And this perk restores a large amount of health and continues to restore health for a short duration afterwards on a melee. So he shows you the damage numbers and range of this build for the Last Word and the Lightning Ball melee. And he shows you that you don't necessarily have to be in close proximity to get the Lightning Ball melee to proc. It can be, I think it was in 13 meters distance in the game. And he did a Lightning Ball melee up into the air just above the character. And he shows you on a very good diagram on the video that it's very different to a firebolt grenade. It's, rather than the firebolt grenade, you know, hitting one person, then chaining to the next person, this arc melee ball, it if you throw it above a character, it will then chain down to them. So if there's like three or four people in that proximity, it will, you know, hit a ceiling or just go above them and then chain down to them. And it's really good for working with the last word. And he shows you a lot of gameplay using this. He uses the Chaos Reach skill tree to make use of the perk Pulse Wave, which means if you're critically wounded, you get a speed boost and reload boost for all you and your allies. And he also shows you how to use your super on one opponent, cut it off halfway to retain a third of the super energy for another kill later. This is mainly a PvP build, but again, it could work in PvE. There is another Warlock build, the Verity's Brow build, which I think we had a couple of weeks back looking at Gambit. So this is by Astacross Gaming. So I wanted to go over it again. So in this build, you'll need the Risk Runner exotic submachine gun, the exotic helmet, the Verity's Brow. So in this build, he uses pulse grenades to activate the Risk Runner perk of Superconductor, which gives you a chance at chain lightning and returns ammo to the gun. And with the Verity's Brow perk, the fourth magic, it gives you a boost to grenade recharge rates for you and your nearby allies on energy weapon kills. He uses the middle tree attunement of control. So he's getting the ionite traces, which are the little electric nodes that come back to you as you're getting kills along the floor, which then generates and feeds back into all his abilities. This build is probably best for PvE and Gambit. But again, with Mayhem coming up this week, it could be something that you could look at to use with the Risk Runner. Okay, there is a kind of support build that I found for unlimited Arc Souls. And with the buffs now coming to the Arc Souls, it being around 50% more of the time, and with the uptime of the healing rifts being buffed by 600%, this is going to be a really, really good support build for you. So you can either run the health regen or the buff to your weapons and the Arc Buddies. So the guy is called... This build is by iBlueJurgerger. I'm going to say it like that. He uses 5 Paragon mods on this build with the exotic helmet, the Stag. And he says that the Stag's a bit of an underwhelming exotic. And it is, because it's one of those ones that you don't really think about using. But he goes into detail on how the Stag is effective with its main perk, which grants rift energy when you are critically wounded or on death. It creates a healing rift on your corpse. So using this plus the 5 mods on all your armor pieces and the subclass attunement of elements, this gives you your uptime of your rift and arc ability, like literally 100%. And with these new buffs, it looks like it's going to be a really, really good build. So this would be something really handy in the Reckoning or in Gambit Prime, or even the Crucible, to be honest, if you're sticking around with a buddy. He goes into what armor perks you should be looking for this enhanced build, like impact induction on your gauntlets and distribution on your boots. So that's something to look out for. There is another build by Astacross Gaming, Lord of Thunder. And this build is supposed to be for the most hardcore PvE players, but that is only due to what is required for the armor and the mods, really. So anyone can put this build together and have fun with it. It starts off with a perk called Advanced Heavy Lifting, which I believe comes from the helmets only. So Dreaming City helmets, Raid and Gambit Prime and Reckoning now drop with enhanced perks on it. So you want to look for something that's got the enhanced heavy lifting on it, which basically gives you more super energy every time you get a kill with heavy weapons. The next item that is required is a Taken Armament mod. Again, we covered this a couple of weeks back. These come from the Last Wish Raid chest drops. So I will link a video on how to solo these chests if you haven't got into the raid. There's one by Esoteric and Ninja Pups. So there are two chests that you can get. One that all classes can get, and the second chest, only the Warlock and the Titan can do it. The Hunter can't get across the gap back towards the other chest.
Typical.
I'll link those in the video for you. But if you have a friend who is a Titan or Warlock and can get to the second chest, you can join. Ooh. You can join on them to get the second chest. Just that you can't.
Well, you piggyback.
Yeah, you can't actually get to the chest if you're soloing it, but you can join on them, because we've done that a couple of times in the clan when it first came out. So these Taken Armament mods have a chance to grant heavy ammo reserves on a Taken kill with grenade. And in the video, he basically goes over the fact that it's literally 100% guaranteed every time that he's managed to get a kill with a grenade on a taken, he's got like 50 bullets put into his reserves for his Thunderlord. That's the other part of the build. He's using the Super Chaos Reach with the exotic boots, the Geomag Stabilizers, and the exotic machine gun Thunderlord. So now I've put in here, if you haven't got the Thunderlord yet, the quest is going to be available, as we said earlier in the podcast. So for this week, you should be able to go and get the Thunderlord again. And I will link a video by Houndish on a guide of how to get Thunderlord and where to get started on that. So with the heavy lifting perk, which grants more super energy, the taken armament mods, and the heavy ammo finder perk, which you could probably get on boots, I think it is. With all those, you should be generating more heavy ammo, and then it's kind of a repetition process of killing with the Thunderlord and then getting more super energy to then use super, to then use grenades. To, you know, it's a very good build, and the video is really, really cool to watch. It is quite a hardcore build, as he says, but if you've got some of these pieces in your collection, it may be worth putting together. So that's, I think there's about 6 builds there for the Warlock.
Yeah.
The Warlocks are getting lots of love this week.
We love the Warlocks. You know, they may not be featured in the name of the podcast, but we love them.
But not out loud, though.
So,
no. No. How many hunters got? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4. Wow.
There you go. Hunters.
Yay!
Hunters, moving on to hunters. So, we've got 4 videos for you here. Cool Guy's video on Way of the Current. He does an in-depth guide on the Way of the Current, and he's put a build together using the 6th Coyote exotic chest piece, which gives you 2 dodge abilities, and it synergizes with the Tempest Strike and Arc Staff. So when you do the slide along the ground and uppercut, you'll do like the Arc Staff wave of melee ability. So he pairs it with a shotgun with an Icarus mod on it. And in some of the gameplay, he shows you how to use the Arc Bow, the Trinity Ghoul, the exotic bow. And he does the Arc Staff, flicks it out, tags 2 people, jumps up in the air, and manages, just because he does it very quickly, doesn't aim properly, he manages to send out the 3 arc arrows that then manage to kill them because it's kind of conducted. So he recommends using the strafe jump for more directional control. So when you're jumping after you've done the initial arc staff slash along the ground, you've got more directional control of where you want to jump to then engage with the next person. So you can either jump back or jump forward or above them. He shows you in PvE how the various perks work, and then he takes them into PvP and how he uses them in there. And in PvE, he recommends the Raiden Flux exotic chest piece and shows you some like Forge gameplay and explains how to use the super and how you can deflect supers with it. So he shows you can deflect Blade Barrage, you can deflect Hammers, you can deflect Spectral Blade, and even Dawn Blade with it. I think it does take a little bit of a knack, and it does include, I think, especially if it's the Blade Barrage, you have to jump, because if you're just twirling your staff on the ground, where the blades hit the ground, the knives hit the ground, it kind of does that aftershock blast and kills you. When they jump in the air and throw their knives at you, as long as you're jumping forward, back, wherever, as long as you're not on the ground, you don't take damage, and you can deflect some of those knives back at the hunter. The next build is Infinite Arc Bolt Hunter build by iBlueJugger. Using the exotic chest piece, the Lucky Raspberry, which exotic perk is Scissor Fingers. So this increases the chain lightning capacity of the Arc Bolt grenades and has a chance to recharge it each time it deals damage. With a full chain, which is roughly 4 enemies, it always recharges. In this video, he uses the Way of the Current subclass to synergize the build, and he details what to look out for on the armor to help keep the time of the grenades up to the maximum. Again, mods play a role in this build, and this build was primarily made for Gambit Prime. So in the video, he shows you some gameplay on how it works and how it synergizes. So that's a really good one. We have the Windwalker Hunter. So this is by Rustophilius. So using the Way of the Wind, which is the bottom tree subclass, and the Gambler's Dodge ability to get full melee energy back when you dodge near an enemy. So that's not part of the subclass tree. That's it's the 2 dodge abilities, isn't it? You can either dodge to reload your weapon or dodge to reload your melee. So he goes for a high recovery based armor set. And the exotic that he uses again is the Lucky Raspberry chest piece. for a chance to again to generate more grenades on multiple hits. And he shows you in Gambit gameplay and shows you how this setup works. And then finally, we have another Cami Cakes gaming build with the new exotic, the Liar's Handshake. So with this build, you're going to need the new exotic gauntlets, the Hunter, which is the Liar's Handshake. So basically, if you are using your Arc Melee ability or your Hit by Melee ability, it will allow you to follow up with an extremely powerful melee to counterpunch, and it will also heal you. So he pairs it with the Top Tree Arc Strider, Way of the Warrior, because the synergy of the perks, you have Combat Flow, which if you get a melee kill, it will fully recharge your dodge ability. The Combining Blows perk, which if you get a kill with a melee, will trigger your health regen and temporarily increase your melee damage. You've got Deadly Reach perk on there as well, which if you dodge, it increases your melee range. And he pairs it with the Gambler's Dodge again. This ability, when you dodge near an enemy, it fully recharges your melee ability. And he goes over some of the recommendations for weapons to use, like the Fighting Lion Exotic Grenade Launcher and a Sniper. But you can also run whatever you kind of feel comfortable with, because this is quite an up-close and personal build. So in the video, you'll see him take on three or four people that are surrounding him, and he'll dodge near one, punch one, dodge again near another one, and kill the next person because he's got the extra melee damage, dodge near the other person, then reach for the next person round. And every time he's getting health regen, he's getting his dodge back, he's getting his melee back, and he literally wipes out about four people from that other team in PvE. It's a really good build. Also, some of the armor perks to run as well. He says, you know, if you can find dynamo on your legs, that synergizes with weapon perks for and unflinching and super energy gain on either your chest piece or your helmet. Look out for those specific things. I mean, he shows you his build of it, so you could copy, you know, word for word kind of thing on what he's got, but it could be something that you could kind of, you know, maybe use a shotgun rather than the Fighting Lion. Maybe last word, you know, an up close kind of fast firing hand cannon would be quite good as well. Moving on to the Titans, not much love for the Titans, because let's face it, we don't really need that much. We, you know, we have an amazing loadout for Ark. I've got two builds, both by Astrocross Gaming. We have the Titan Synthetic build, and he goes into detail on how to build this loadout with the hands-on perk on armor, where you get bonus super energy on melee kills. He has four impact mods, and he uses Code of the Missile, which is the middle tree for the Arc Titan. He uses the exotics, the Syntheseps, the gauntlets for the Titan, which gives you improved melee and super damage when surrounded. He has a shotgun for the follow-up if needed, and he shows you both PvP and PvE gameplay. And finally for the Titans, we have the Insurmountable Skullfort Titan build, which is what I like to run myself personally. He goes into the build with the Insurmountable Skullfort and five super mods, and the Code of the Missile subclass as a choice. The perk Impact Conversion, you gain super energy from hitting enemies with the Ballistic Slam ability. So with the helmet perk, the Transfusion Matrix, you're constantly getting kills, and it keeps you regenerating players' health on a kill and gives back full melee energy. So this loadout is perfect for slaying, and especially in Gambit Prime and the Reckoning. And this is the build that I recommend if you're a Titan and you can get the Insurmountable Skullfort. It's absolutely fantastic, no matter whether it's an Arc Week, Solar Week, or Void Week. I've used this build in the Reckoning, and it's really helpful because, you know, you could be, you know, you're just flying around the map, you know, constantly slamming into the ground. And as soon as you kill one enemy, you're getting that health regen back. And you don't necessarily even have to run for too much. I think it's like literally a couple of seconds and jump in the air. You don't need to even be flying so high in the air. You could just like be a couple of inches off the air. But as long as you can see that kind of wind rush in your face, you can slam the next, you know, Vex or Taken, and you've got your super back again. So that is probably the best build that I recommend. Parody, can you think of anything else that the Titans could use? You know,
I mean, I'm going to go with you on, I mean, Syntheseps I run pretty much exclusively if I'm doing anything arc related, just because I love that extra reach. And when you're surrounded, it gives you the more punching power. But one thing I've been playing with is the Dune Marchers, which is the ones that will let you sprint. And then basically once you've gotten your sprint up, very similar to the shoulder charge or the, you know, Code of the Missile Death from Above jumping. Once you melee someone with that active, it chains arc lightning between enemies. So I want to play around with that a little more, especially for Arc Week, and just see what kind of chain lightning damage you can do, because you can run that with, you know, you know, in any of the trees for the Titan, because you don't have to have the shoulder charge active or the coat of the missile. You can just run it. You can even run the bottom tree and play with some of the synergy with the buffs of that and just chain that arc lightning out to people. So that's one of the things I can think of, you know, arc specific. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I'm still waiting for a good Actium War Rig build that'll let me do something with auto rifles, because again, throw that on. Or I mean, you could also run with the Peacekeepers, especially if you're gonna run the Risk Runner. Maybe you don't have the Interminable Skull Fort, or don't want to run it for some reason. Maybe you have another helmet that, you know, synergizes better with the build you're trying to make. The Peacekeepers are the ones that, you know, reload your stowed submachine guns and allows you to ready them instantly. So especially if you run, you know, grab your Risk Runner and then grab your Pillager, grab, you know, a primary SMG, you can run two submachine guns and just mow through people. Because basically the moment you run out of ammo on one, switch weapons and your next one is ready immediately again. So, you know, you could do the same thing with the Huckleberry. If you didn't have a Risk Runner for some reason, but yeah, grab your Pillager, grab your Hard Truths, you know, a kinetic SMG, and then you can just chain weapons. Even if you just switch weapons and switch back to your Risk Runner, it's already refilled. It's already ready to go. So you can just continue mowing through people. It's sort of the same effect as the Actium War Rig. Whereas with that, you're just standing and delivering bullets like a, you know, bullet hose of death. This, you're just, you know, switching gun, bullets, switching gun, bullets, switching gun, bullets. So it might be something to try out if you don't have one of these other pieces, or just want to try something different.
Cool. So with the Arc Week coming up, we thought we'd give Peridi a task of sifting through the collections and look at what weapons and armor that you could pull back out of your collections to use this week. So did you want to go through those?
Sure. Yeah, I'll go through those, and we'll put a link to these in the show notes. And also, we'll put a link to the, basically I went to Light GG and filtered the list by arc weapons. So this isn't every single arc weapon on the list, but there's, you know, a good number of them. So arc weapons, you know, if you're looking for, you know, again, there's nothing in the kinetic slots. So, you know, if you're looking for an energy weapon, your exotics is going to be your Trinity Ghoul combat bow, your Risk Runner, which we've talked extensively about, and the Cold Heart, which might get some love this week because Bungie did buff those trace rifles a little ways back. So you can pull your Cold Heart out of the collection. If you're looking for an auto rifle, your Martyr's Make, your Misfit, your Perseverance, or your Uriel's Gift, if you want to go back. Again, just be that, you know, arc spewing bullet hose.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Uriel's Gift has got the higher caliber rounds and was a very good auto rifle back in the day.
There has been
those auto rifle buffs, so it may be one that you want to have a look at. If you can get it out of your collection, have a sneaky look and take it into Crucible and let us know how that plays.
Yeah, because I know the Perseverance I haven't used as much because it doesn't quite hit as hard, but the Misfit, I mean, just the rapid fire on that, you can put out enough damage. It doesn't hit very hard, but you can pull out enough bullets sometimes, especially to clean up kills with other people. If you're looking for combat bows, your Arsenic Bite, you know, it's your arc combat bow, you can run that. Fusion rifles, we've got a couple good options. If you finished your Pinnacle Vanguard weapon, you can get your Loaded Questions out. If not, you can grab your main ingredient, which, if you're like me, you have a whole bucket of them after giving Zavala so many tokens this week. You've got your Tekken Force. If you did finish the Iron Banner grind, you've got your Wizened Rebuke. You know, the new version, that one's arc, you can play around with that one. For grenade launchers, for you grenade launcher lovers out there, we've got the Flash and Thunder. For hand cannons, we've got the Jack Queen King 3, the Nation of Beasts, the Nature of the Beast, the Shattered Peace, and the Waking Vigil. So again, I am not the hand cannon aficionado, so I can't tell you what the best one is. I can just tell you their arc out there, and I've seen them drop. So, you know, I can't tell you which one to use, but those are your choices. Your pulse rifles, we've got the Horror's Least, if you've gotten that to drop from the Strike, or the Swift Ride, or the Swift Ride XE8375, the one that drops from the Black Armory, from the Forges. Scout rifles, you've got one of Night Demon's favorites, the Black Scorpion 4SR, and his other favorite, the Frostmire's Hex. You've also got the Cut and Run or the Tome Patrol. Shotguns, you've got the Badlander, your Good Bone Structure, or your Ghenora's Axe, if you've got one of those from a previous Iron Banner. Sidearms, you've got the 18 Kelvins and the Last Dance and the Vestian Dynasty. Sniper rifles, you can get the Tatera Gaze that comes out of the Black Armory, the Long Goodbye, the Soul Survivor, which I believe the Soul Survivor is one of our Gambit Prime guns we should be dropping more often here after the 9th, or your Gentleman Vagabond. Submachine guns, if you don't want to run your Risk Runner, you've got the Breath of the Dragon, the Foggy Notion, the Red Mamba, the Soul Pariah 6, or your Ikelos submachine gun if you've ever gotten that drop. I have never seen that one either. Now, moving on to your power weapons. If you want to use them exotic power weapons, we've got the Anarchy Grenade Launcher, the Prospector Grenade Launcher, the Queensbreaker, the Thunderlord, of course, your Warcliff Coil. Can't go without your Warcliff. Your Legend of Acherus shotgun, your Darcy sniper rifle, or your Worldline Zero sword. Looking for the legendaries, you've got your grenade launcher, the Acantha D XK8434 that comes out of the Black Armory, your play of the game, and your through fire and flood. Linear fusion rifles, we've got the Deadender and the Tarantula. For machine guns, the 21% Delirium. So if you don't have your Thunderlord, you know, maybe you can finish the quest up this week in preparation for Arc Week. If not, you can work on your Gambit, you know, your Gambit grinding, get your 21% Delirium out of there. Rocket launchers, we've got the Curtain Call, the Huskal, the Morrigan D, the Sleepless, and the Zenobia D. Swords, you can get the Striker's Surehand, you can have the Black Armory, the Unspoken Promise, the Zephyr, and the Honor's Edge. And if you're just starting out or you, you know, picked the game up recently, we've got a couple of blue weapons, you know, that aren't the legendaries, so you might be able to grab your Sand Wasp 3AU auto rifle, your Black Tiger 2SR scout rifle, your Fust Dark Mark 21 shotgun, or your Harmony S21 submachine gun. So, again, we'll put a full link. This isn't every arc weapon, but it's a good number of them. You know, again, and as you can see, kinetic weapons, power weapons, there's a good variety out there. So if you don't have, you know, a certain exotic or you don't have the exact one you want, there's probably something out there that's arc that you can either make a build with or have some fun with.
I do recommend the Sand Wasp 3AU, which is a blue weapon. If you have got it, pull it out of your collections. It's a fantastic auto rifle. I believe it's got high caliber rounds and dynamic sway on it. Although it's a blue weapon, it's a very good gun to have. So try playing with that if you've only got the blue weapons.
Yeah, that's definitely one that was, they had a resurgence in the Crucible a while back. I was seeing people running with that. And then again, we've talked, you know, probably talked to death, the arc, you know, your arc armor perks at this point, your insurmountable skull fort, you know, which gives you those arc melee ability kills, which gives you your health regeneration and more melee abilities. You know, pair that with your shoulder charge, pair that with your death from above. Your Dune Marcher boots increases your sprint speed, and as you sprint, you build up that static charge. So when you melee an enemy, that static charge will chain the attack damage to nearby enemies. Great for Horde, great for Gambit or Gambit Prime, great for the Reckoning, anything you're trying to take out groups of. For the Warlocks, your Crown of Tempest helmet, you know, the arc ability kills increase the recharge rate of your arc abilities. You know, punch things, you get to punch more things. For the Hunters, your Lucky Raspberry chest piece, your arc grenade has a increased chance to chain to further enemies and has a chance to completely recharge each time it deals damage. And your Radon Flux chest piece, the successive attacks with the arc staff super ability increases its damage and duration. So again, you know, anything that buffs arc damage, use more arc damage. You could also run, you know, for Titans, throw up that half wall, get that reload. If you're running auto rifles, look at your Actium War Rig. If you're a Titan or if you're a Warlock, grab your Luna Faction boots. So, you know, you throw the rift down, you can just, you know, reload forever. You know, anything that sort of synergizes with, you know, dealing more damage, even if it's not arc specific, anything that sort of buffs that weapon you're using, you know, that'll make you a little more effective for Arc Week. I can't use my word either. All right. And then there's a couple of new exotics that have dropped in Forsaken. Dropped in Season of the Drifter. Maybe you have them, maybe you don't. For the Hunters, we've got the Liar's Handshake, those Hunter Gauntlets that'll use your Arc melee ability, or by being hit with a melee ability, will allow you to follow up with an extremely powerful melee counterpunch that will also heal you. And for the Warlocks, we've got the Getaway Artist, which is, you know, basically you can convert your arc grenade into a supercharged arc soul. And the arc soul functions as, you know, just like the old one did, as an autonomous turret. And I actually did get the Getaway Artist to drop and I play with them a little bit. And it's a lot of fun. You eat that grenade, sort of like you do for the Devourer on the Void Warlock. And yeah, you basically have this turret that just hovers above you and just shoots at everything and anything nearby. It's a lot of fun. I play with an Iron Banner or some. It's a lot of fun just to have that turret running around, because if nothing else, it sort of tells you which direction people are sneaking up on you from if they're a little further away, and just deals some extra damage. So it's good fun. So yeah, if you've gotten some of these to drop, you know, play with them. Tell us what kind of build you're using. You know, I'm, as we talked about last week with our vault space, I've got my couple builds and I sort of stick to those, but I'm always curious what else other people are using out there. So Seventh, do you have anything you like? I know Night Demon's going to run with his Risk Runner and his Interminable Skull Fort. Any go-to build you have, or anything you're looking forward to using?
I'm just Arc in general. So, I mean, to be honest, a lot of the time I'm just sticking to, the Shards of Galanor and my Solar. So I'm actually looking forward to giving me a reason to kind of go back to the Arc kind of build again. Getting out the staff and just smashing some people around the head with it. Just a simple bit, simple fun.
Awesome, can't go wrong with that.
Nothing better. I mean, getting the staff out is always one of my favorite things, so can't yeah, just like swinging it around. That's it. So, yeah, man. I suppose I'm going to have to go through, obviously, just said on the podcast now, get the, what was it, Raiden Flux with the Arc Staff, I believe, was it?
Yeah, there was one of the builds of that.
Yeah, I'm going to go on. Definitely I'm going to go on that one. Pair that probably with a Risk Runner, because what I'm looking towards doing is trying to get back into, get into the Reckoning, and kind of get that tier two sorted out and kind of get into tier three. So that is going to be a massive thing for me. I think I'll definitely start with the Arc Staff, get on there with the Risk Runner and whatnot, and kind of go from there, really.
I recently got the Liar's Handshake Hunter Gauntlets to drop, so I'm going to have a go at putting that Kami Cakes build together and see what I can with that. I'm probably not going to be as good, but, you know, it'll be something I can do with my Hunter a bit more. And then maybe I'll try a few of the builds with my Warlock, seeing as we've got like six of them to try out. Need to do something. Need to do something for the podcast to report back on next week, you know.
Yeah, somehow I'm feeling next week's podcast is going to be all the Warlocks and then some more Warlocks with it. Because, yeah.
You need to make sure you get a Warlock on for guesting.
Oh, I'm going to have to now, aren't I?
Yeah, I'll have to go track down Blue Screen. I don't know if you listen, buddy, but this is for you, Blue Screen. Blue Screen 42. Yeah. You're a Warlock main out there.
No, he's not listening.
Or get some footage with him playing so I can see what he's been running.
Yeah.
Just do it without him knowing. That'd be even worse.
Oh, that's what I tell people. I'm like, if you're playing with me, there's a 50-50 chance that I'm recording it just for footage for the podcast to put behind our YouTube version. So beware if you're running with me in the Crucible or running with me doing pretty much anything, you're probably going to be on tape. You know, it's from my perspective, so I'll be dead most of the time, but I might show you guys doing good things. And with this, we move on to our weapon spotlight of the week. So I'll let Night Demon take away and talk about his favorite weapon, the Fighting Lion.
I'm so excited.
So wait. Are we taking turns at trying to guess at what weapon this is?
No, I'm sorry. Not the Fighting Lion. It's definitely the Cold Heart. He's going to talk about the Cold Heart this week.
He loves the Cold Heart.
The Trace Rifle buff. He's just really excited about.
Oh, he loves that one.
Yes. So for our focus this week, I say we have chosen the exotic energy weapon, the Risk Runner, but I have personally chose it because I love it so much. I just love this gun. You know, this gun is going to be amazing in PvP and it's going to be amazing in PvE because the exotic perk with the Arc Conductor, if you're taking arc damage, the weapon becomes more powerful and resists incoming arc damage. So what more could you want? Everybody's going to be using arc. The game modes are going to be arc. You're going to take less arc damage. It's going to be fantastic. And if you've got the catalyst on it, which I believe can just drop from doing strikes in, and to power up the catalyst, all you need to do is make sure you've gone into the weapon and click to put it on, because there've been many weapons that I've gone into, thought that I've put the catalyst on and started doing the kills or doing the requirements for the weapon. You have to physically go into the gun and go, oh yes, I'll activate that before you do it. So remember, if you need to do the catalyst, go into the gun and go down to the button that you need to activate it, then get the kills. If you get the catalyst on it, it bumps the range up from 55 to 82, and it's really worth, if you've got it, give it a go. Even if without the catalyst, it's still going to be a really good gun for this week. And I will link an Astrocross Gaming review for the video this week. And I think that's it. That's all we can talk about. It's just, there's nothing else to talk about apart from just have fun next week. If you've got any feedback for us regarding what build you put together, anything fun that you did, you know, anything, you know, you think that other people might want to hear about you doing, get in touch, let us know. We'll feedback to you guys what we've done next week. And we probably won't invite Seventh Scar back, but we'll get some feedback from him and let you know what he did, you know, because
why not? I thought I'd been really good.
You're temporary, you know. Respawn is the Hunter.
Oh.
You're just standing in for him. He gets angry.
Like I'm normally with the clan. Just he gets angry. Hunter. Yeah. Oh, we need someone to take all the bullets for us.
Yeah.
Let's get seventh in. Oh, yeah, no, thanks. It's always really nice to do clan plays with you guys.
You're
isn't
just
it?
A temporary. Clan temporary solution.
That's what I'm saying.
We've included you. Sickening.
We have to show you the same amount of love we show our normal Hunter. Again, when you step in as the Hunter, you're going to have to, you know, accept the same level of respawn does, because he's angrier than you will ever be in your entire life. So you have to be willing to accept that role.
I've been turning it back. He's right. Hunters are all, we've got the same mentality. I'm trying to like show a different side of a hunter, and actually kind of, you know, I've been reining it in.
Well, that's no fun.
You haven't had to bleep out hardly any of this.
No, you're just going to be cut for most of this.
All right, again.
And so although one last thing before we finish up, I do want to mention that I realize I neglected to mention that, you know, for the folks who've been playing Destiny since, you know, the good old days of when you could change the burn or the singe of your weapon with the mods back before they redid the mod system. You know, look through your vault, look through your collections, or not your collection, look through your vault and look at what you might have on a character somewhere. For instance, I have a Singe of the Past rocket launcher in all three singes, because I was able to put, you know, just I had a solar, an arc, and a void from when they locked down the mods from before you could switch them out. So maybe you've got another weapon out there that, you know, it, you know, doesn't drop natively as an arc weapon, but you have an arc version of it. So, you know, go through your collection. Maybe you've got, you know, your favorite weapon that normally is a void or normally would be a solar, but you've got an arc version of it. So hey, look through that and play around with that. I meant to mention that with the arc weapon. So, you know, we listed the stuff that drops as arc in the game, but there could be some additional arc stuff out there you've got hidden away and you've totally forgotten about.
Basically, dude, just if you're doing a rest and gambit and everything, just get your wrist runner. Just do a demon.
Everything else. That's what you need. Wrist runner.
Literally. With all the thrall kicking around on a reckoning. Wrist runner all the way.
Yeah. So, Parody, it's over to you to close the show, as usual.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to us. We really appreciate the you know, emails we've gotten and the Twitter mentions we've gotten from you folks. It's so nice to know that you actually listen to us. Thank you for joining us for Two Titans and a Hunter this week. Your Titans have been, as usual, Parody and Night Demon. Your Hunter, no respawn in real life, is he's out in the wilds stalking prey again, so we've brought in Seventh Scar UK as our Hunter of the Week, because everyone just needs a little more Britishness on their podcast sometimes. Email us at twotitansandahunter@hotmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter at @twotitans_hunter. Grab our Facebook page, go to our YouTube. It'll all be in the show notes. If you want to eat some sandwiches with us, you can join the Frozen Clan at join.frozen.party, and that's frozen with a zero. You're Two Titans and a Hunter. It'll be out in your ears soon, and it'll be out on YouTube to watch. We're on Spotify, YouTube, Pocket Casts, Overcast, YouTube Casts, all the casts. And now finally we're on Google Play, since the great nation of the UK, they decided to Brexit the Google Play store, so our lovely Brit was not able to add us to Google Play, but now we should be up there. So if you've been looking at Google going, why isn't the show there? It should be there this week. So come by next week. We'll be serving punch all week, and we'll see you in Arc Week. Until then, say bye, Brits.
Risk on us away! Let's say goodbye.
He's already Brexited.
Hey.
You!
Yeah, man. I was too busy being upset by being, like, you know, just this added...
Right, okay.
Whatever. No, it's fine. Then. Let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah. Done.
This is the new end of the show. No, you moping and being sad that you didn't have a good ending.
Okay. And here's the one and only Parody.
Da 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 da.
Seriously, you had to sing that. You are such an
Richard.